WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Back in the 1950s, honky-tonkin' was a mostly male sport, and making the music that accompanied it was also the domain of boys and men. But when Elvis came along, there was no holding back the girls. Rock and roll historian Ed Ward has a survey of the women who tried to reign as queen in the shadow of the king.
Wild, wild young men like to have a good time. Wild, wild young men like to have a good time. Wild, wild boyfriends like to lose their minds. Wild men dig me.
There are some questions that seem to make sense until you ask them. Thinking about the 50s a few weeks ago, somebody asked me, in all innocence, why wasn't there a female Elvis? It would seem to make sense, after all, that if Elvis gave the girls something to scream at, and if screen idols like Marilyn Monroe and Natalie Wood were stirring up the boys' hormones, that a girl rockabilly would be a money-making machine. And it turns out that the answer to the question of a female Elvis is that there was a female Elvis. There were a dozen of them. But you've never heard of them unless you're a real rockabilly fanatic or a country fan. That's where a lot of these young women came from, and where the ones who succeeded wound up.
Gonna tell Aunt Mary about Uncle John. He claims he got the misery, but he has a lot of fun. Oh, baby, yeah, baby, ooh, baby, we're gonna have some fun tonight. Yeah, well, long, tall, Sally, she's built with speed, she got everything that
my favorite was Wanda Jackson from Maud, Oklahoma, who was Capitol Records' entry into the female Elvis sweepstakes and who, as you can hear, was perfectly capable of rocking out. She recorded lots of straight country just in case the rock and roll fad didn't work out, and that's the path she took until a religious conversion more or less ended her recording career. If you can find any of her old records, though, listen to them. Unfortunately, they're very hard to find, and the rockabilly stuff is only in print in France. RCA Records had the original Elvis, so they figured they had the inside track. When pretty teenage Janis Martin showed up in Nashville in 1956, they thought they'd found what they wanted.
They can call you Bill or even Billy, but you're my sweet William and you drive me silly. Oh, Will, 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 you thrill me to my fingertips. William, 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 yum, 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 I love your tasty lips. William, William.
Janis's first record, Will You William, was a stone flop. And for her next record, they gave her something tested and true.
Hey there, baby, jump over here. When you do the ooby-dooby, I just gotta be near. Ooby-dooby, 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 ooby-dooby.
Of course, this was before the record industry learned that rock and roll fans don't buy multiple versions of a song, and Roy Orbison had already milked ooby-dooby dry. So the last we hear of Janis is this.
Just hit town, takes off like a rocket, there he goes, rocking from his head down to his toes. My boy Elvis, real rock, my boy Elvis, real rock, with bambling ooh, Elvis sing to me. Heartbreak Hotel, blue suede shoes, he walks away with all my blues. Take my troubles, take my pain, load them on that mystery train.
It was her biggest record, but that wasn't saying much. By 1958, Janis Martin's career at RCA was over. Now, if you know much about the history of rock and roll at this time, you're probably saying, sure, you'd expect big labels like Capitol and RCA to blow it. The small independent labels were where the action was. True. And on Cincinnati's Fraternity label, where Lonnie Mack recorded, we find a female rockabilly whose records are pure gold in collector circles today, Sparkle Moore.
You should be labeled with a skull and a crossbones. Well, you're a jinx to my soul. Oh, yeah, you should be labeled with a skull and a crossbones. Well, you're a jinx to my soul. Oh, yeah. Well, you're a man as to wear my batter off in a prison. Cause you look like a
But, as you can hear, Skull and Crossbones had what might be called an eccentric vocal. She smoothed it out some for another record, Rock-a-Bop, but it didn't help much.
You take a rock and a bop when it's really neat, and you put them together with the rock-a-bop. Hey, Joe, you're gonna do the rock-a-bop. Rock-a-bop, you're gonna swing your feet in another rhythm. Never stop, stop. Rock-a-bop, I said rock-a-bop. Rock-a-bop, I said rock-a-bop with me. Come on and rock-a-bop. Rock-a-bop, come on and rock-a-bop with me. You're gonna swing your feet in another rhythm. Never stop, stop. Rock-a-bop.
Fact was, people weren't buying male rockabillies that sounded like this, although today they're considered the top of the heap. No, the problem with all the female Elvises, including such unlikely personages as Alva Leslie, who combed her short hair back in a fair imitation of the original, but only succeeded in looking like a male impersonator, was that they were girls. And in the 50s, girls were supposed to act in a certain way. It was liberating to see the raw sexuality and frenzied excitement of an Elvis Presley show, but nobody wanted their girlfriend acting that way. And anything less wasn't really rock and roll. It was pop, which is how safer acts like Brenda Lee made it to the charts. In short, nice girls didn't act like that, and bad girls started out with three strikes against them. It would take 20 years for female rock and rollers to get to be an accepted part of the landscape, and by then, Janis Martin, Sparkle Moore, and Wanda Jackson's rocking days had been forgotten.
Ed Ward writes about music and is currently based in Berlin. This is Fresh Air.